RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you guys have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So this week, I think, like, we'll just get sloshed and run for mayor.
Or, I think it's a great idea.
What?
It's a great idea. I run for mayor because I can't pronounce Alderman.
Alderman. Right. That's good. You be careful. You might spill some blood.
There's a lot of opportunities for that this week.
Oh, boy. This was a messy, sloppy, dirty week on Arrow.
I agree with you. It's almost like it's the Etch-a-Sketch episode. You know, they just took the whole show and turned it upside down and shook it.
There was a lot of stuff that fell out, and, you know, I love, just to tease a little bit here, I love when they do, you know, you get a little ending on one of the stories, and you're like, oh, is that what they're going to do? And then the next story has its little ending thing, and you're like, no. And then the third one comes along, and you're like, I can't believe they're doing this! You know, it's like each one kind of trumps the one before it. I think that was another one of these kind of weeks, and then they kind of tease you right into the trailer for next week, and you're like, holy moly, what's going on here? So, but we are here to discuss a particular episode, episode number 12. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it, Josh?
Well, this episode is called Tremors. And again, not to be confused with the sandworm thingies, but this Tremors is a little different. It was on January 29th of 2014. And this was written by, a personal friend of the show, Mark Guggenheim.
Excellent.
And Drew Greenberg. And it was directed by Guy Norman B. How much do you think I'm going to be able to summarize this show? There was so much in it. Do you think I can make it short enough?
I hope so. Yeah, right. There was a lot. Let's see what you can do here.
All right, let's see if we can sum this up in just before the show's over here. All right. So are you shaking in your boots?
No.
Yeah? It may not be you. See, it might just be a prototype earthquake machine that was left behind by our magical friend Merlin. But who can you trust to successfully retrieve something like that for you? You know, you're going to have to liberate a professional from prison. Mm-hmm. So they did. That's what they did. And that professional, he's rising up back on the street. He did his time, took his chances. He went the distance. Now he's back on his feet, just a villain and his will to, you know, make a lot of money. It's the Claw of Bronze Tiger.
Okay. Yep. That is, yep. Okay. Keep going.
In order to get that to fit, that took me quite a long time. So
is
Oliver
that what you're wasting your time on? Instead of coming up with show notes, you were messing around with a Rocky remix.
Guilty as charged. Hey, you know, I gotta be me.
Boy.
Anyway, so Oliver, he enlists the help of his newly water slapped partner Roy to stop these guys. But now Oliver's got a lot on his plate. He's got to save the day. He's got to keep Super Roy under control. He's got to help his mother campaign for mayor, and he's got to find some time in his life to schedule an intervention for Laurel. So, I suppose someone probably ought to warn him about Amanda Waller's plans too. So. That is a lot to talk about in one episode.
Yeah, exactly. And there is still a ton of storyline that we've been seeing this season. They didn't even touch on. there's still stuff about the Sarah. We didn't get any Sarah stuff. There's the partner of Oliver in Queen Consolidated. What's her name on the show? Isabel Rochev?
Oh,
we
yeah, yeah.
We haven't seen or heard from her in a while. And there was one other sub-storyline that I was thinking about that they didn't touch on, which, you know, I'm part of me. I love this episode. I think the stuff that the places that the show is going, oh, the places you'll go. It's just awesome. I mean, from I think people who are not comic book fans are enjoying it. And people that are comic book fans are, we're able to appreciate it at a higher level, I feel. But I'm worried they're throwing so many threads out there. They can't do them every week, right? You can't, and that's cool because some people may not like the Thea storyline. So, you know, you don't get that for a couple weeks. So you, and like we haven't dealt with Moira for a few weeks and now that's coming back into the picture. And, oh, Merlin was the other thing. There's the whole Merlin thread out there.
Yeah. He'd been around forever.
Right. We know he's still here and what's going to happen. Obviously, I think something with Mare, like maybe he'll be the running mate. Maybe he'll be vice. Is it vice mayor?
You think so? You think? Yeah. Well, they're guessing that they can forgive Moira. You think they're going to be able to forgive Malcolm? There?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know.
I don't know. The people of Starling City are—they have short memories. I think they might be able to do that.
Yeah, but you know, I get worried that they throw out so many storylines, they're not going to be able to get to everything that they've started this season in this season. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
I absolutely, and you know they're going to come back to the blood storyline. I mean,
yeah.
So I would guess.
I mean, we've got probably 13 episodes left. We're halfway through.
Right, right, and I would guess they're saving that for, you know, the big finale, the big season finale. But right. I'm kind of with you. I mean, I like all these little subplot episodes, but they're throwing in so many that I kind of worry that it might get a little too cluttered. But you know. I shouldn't be worried because we've had thoughts of worry before about where they're going, and they always manage to just put it together brilliantly. So,
yeah. Oh, check that. Sorry, not 13 episodes. We got 11 episodes left. It'll be we're on 12. There's going to be 23 total. So,
okay. All right.
All right. And the biggest news that we've got was an announcement about an upcoming episode. So, I'm just going to read the titles about these episodes. If people don't want to, I'm sure there are people that don't want to know much about what's going on in the episodes, and that's cool. I don't think the titles are necessarily spoilers, especially the next episode title for next week is kind of a spoiler, but if you've already seen the previews for it, then the cat's already out of the bag, so the title's not going to do anything else for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week, on February 5th is episode 213. It's called Heir to the Demon. Then they're going to take 2 weeks off and come back on February 26th with Time of Death. And that's episode 214. Then on the following week, on March 5th, episode 215 is called The Promise. Okay. Then if you listen to our show last week when Mark Guggenheim was on, he talked about there were two episodes that, quote, fans won't believe we're doing these two shows back to back. The titles are actually spoilers, and they hadn't revealed them at that point. Well, 216, we don't know the title for. It's going to either air on March 12th or March 19th. We're not sure yet. They haven't released the schedule out that far, but there probably will be a skip week because TV Guide, the big news this week, TV Guide announced that on 326, episode 217, and we only know it's 217 because Mark Guggenheim tweeted the cover of the script page, which he does every now and again to show that they're actually, you know, here's the new episode, here's what it's called, here's who directed it, all that. And it's called Birds of Prey. So that's pretty exciting. So that's episode 217. So given the episode that we saw this week, I had previously postulated on Facebook prior to that episode being on that one of these two episodes was going to be a Suicide Squad episode. So my guess is that episode 216 will be Suicide Squad.
That is an excellent speculation. I did have a question about that, though, because
And that's the Big Diggle episode, too. So that kind of makes a lot of sense, right? Because it's got Argus.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to have Lila. I'm guessing this is all speculation. We don't know. But, you know, Amanda Waller for Argus, Lila works with her. Lila and Diggle were married. All sorts of cool stuff there.
Now, the only question I had about that, and I think that's a great idea. And you're probably right, especially based on, you know, what Mark was saying, that the title was such a surprise you'd want to say it. But now this week we kind of know that the Suicide Squad is coming on its way, being formed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering why they still haven't released that title. Or maybe it's just too soon after the episode, and they will now or something. But
yeah, I was thinking it's still too early. The Birds of Prey title was leaked on Monday, or not leaked, but revealed on Monday.
Yeah, which was so before the episode. Okay,
right. So I figure that next week they'll probably, you know, we'll probably hear something about it being Suicide Squad. You know, to give people a chance to watch this episode, you know, over the weekend and stuff.
Sure. On CW.com or the CW app or
right.
Anywhere you can get it. Like I said, I think that's great speculation. I think you're probably right. It should have something to do with that. Man, they've got a lot to cram in these episodes,
that's what I'm saying.
Exciting.
I mean, when you think about it, so if that's the stuff that we've gotten, that takes us up to 217, which would leave, six episodes on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to resolve. Well, we don't. I guess saying we have to, you know, is just, you know, that's probably too much. But they should probably resolve in the same way that they kind of tied up season one, you know, with closing up the Malcolm Merlyn storyline and the Earthquake Machine and the Reckoning and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
They should close up the Blood storyline. They need to close and move along the Slade storyline. Like, I think Oliver will need to realize that Slade is, you know, that Blood is resolved and done with for season two. But then Oliver finds out that the big cliffhanger would probably be that he finds out Slade is alive and moving on. We need to continue closing out the Sarah and Laurel storyline, which it seems like that's going to start moving ahead next week. You know, are they going to have Solomon Grundy? Are we going to close out anything with the Flash? You know, there's, and then Malcolm Merlyn and stuff like that, and the whole mayoral race, because that's going to happen before the end of the season as well, I would think.
Oh, we don't have to, like, sit through the entire season of like, campaign commercials, do we?
You know what? That'd be cool for them to do a Moira or a Blood campaign commercial as a commercial, but they fade out and then they do one of those commercials and then they go to the real commercials. Wouldn't that be cool?
Sure, yeah. Could be brought to you by Bose. That would be kind of cool. That would be kind of cool. And you're going to see that. Yeah, well, I'll talk a little bit about Moira and her storyline later there, but
I think that's Moira.
Why can't I say that tonight? See, it's too much. It's like, I can't say Moira. That's why she can't be. She has to be Mary. She can't.
Let's call her Mom.
Mom.
All right.
Queen.
Well, okay. This week's episode was called Tremors, and since you are Dr. Thesaurus, I believe that's your supervillain name.
Oh, that's got to be my super. You're like the super blower up guy. I'm Dr. Thesaurus. I don't like my name.
You got short little arms and use flowery language to avoid being eaten. So why don't you tell us what you found out about tremor, just as far as the definition goes.
Well, I was kind of looking for some connections, some threads, you know, like we see every week. Of course, the title always has something to do with it. And obviously, the Earthquake Machine is a very good center point for the title Tremors, but it kind of branches out from there. So mainly, all I found was kind of what I expected was, you know, involuntary shaking of the body or trembling or quivering, any tremulous or vibratory movement, vibration. But I, you know, to me, a tremor, I always kind of think of like, you know, Star Wars, you know, like a tremor in the Force. So, mm-hmm. So something has gone wrong. Something has gone askew, in somebody's life or, you know, an event that caused, a lot of changes. That's kind of what I think of a tremor, because it starts in one place and it, you know, goes out in all directions and changes right. What it hits. So from there, that's where I started looking at each of the characters and their storyline from the
Well, that's cool. I mean, because that is totally Roy, and we got that at the end of Roy's story this week, where he's when Oliver finally reveals himself to Roy, the fifth person, I believe, to know Roy's secret, unless you count, as you mentioned, quote unquote, dead people, Sarah and Slade, because they obviously know who he is.
Okay, so let's cover that first since you brought it up. So the five people. So who are the five people? Because I'm not. I may have counted more than this.
Oh, okay. Okay, so here's my rationale for Roy's being the fifth.
Okay.
Diggle.
All right.
Felicity.
Right.
Tommy.
That was the dead person I was thinking.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Because when you put dead in quotes, I thought you meant like Slade. Because Slade knows.
Slade knows. Yeah.
But
he's not dead.
Yeah, but he's not dead, but he thinks he's dead or something like that. Okay.
Okay.
So, Diggle, Felicity, Tommy, and then Wally, or not Wally West, Barry Allen.
Barry Allen.
And then Roy.
Roy. Okay, but Malcolm Merlyn also knows.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I see. That's
Does that
point.
Count?
Yeah, so he'd be the sixth person that knows, and then ninth if you count, or eighth if you count Sarah and Slade.
Yeah,
so anybody. There's so many people that know now. Well,
and Diggle kind of made that
was
comment. So that is quite a few for a guy with a secret identity, but Tommy, obviously, I think he's got him covered. No worries. Felicity and Diggle, I think they're okay. And I think, obviously, Barry's okay.
Yeah, I think Barry's okay, too.
Yeah, so I, the ones that that I worry about, Sarah, I can see Sarah, and Merlyn will use it if he needs to. I'm not sure Slade would use it against him because I don't think he needs to. I think he's confident enough he wouldn't.
I think Slade just wants to bring him down. It's not not destroying him or anything like that. He just will kill him when he gets the chance. But
yeah, me too.
Torture him a little bit.
Me
too. So anyway, what I was going to say about Roy was when Oliver reveals who he is, Roy is like, you saved me last year. Not just like physically from the killer guy, but like basically emotionally, and removed him from the situation that he was in and gave him purpose and everything like that. And that is a tremor that has shaken Roy's life throughout his character arc so far and has made him, has gotten him to the place where he is today. Plus, you've also got the whole Mirakuru shakes, I guess, that people are getting, that both Roy and Slade in the flashbacks have with their hands, where it starts to tremor, like a nervous or muscle twitch or something like that from the effects of the Mirakuru. Almost it seems like one of those things where when Roy gets agitated, it's like he has too much adrenaline. And, I don't know if you're aware of this, but, like when you have too much adrenaline, you can actually get the shakes just because your body's producing it so quickly. You just don't know what to do and you have to move to kind of work it out.
Yeah. I almost kind of interpreted that too as when he gets out of control and you see him start shaking, and that's, to me, I kind of feel like that's emotionally, he's so distraught that he got out of control, or that he can't seem to stop himself from doing these things, that he's so nervous. I mean, I don't think that's specifically what it's supposed to be, but that it really kind of reflects how powerful, it's changing him.
Right.
I don't know. But yeah, I think it's from the Mirakuru, but it just was a good illustration, because he only really does it when he's used it, when he's used his abilities and he gets kind of freaked out about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just something that he has going on when he's just hanging out or whatever. It is kind of that mixture of anger and self-control, I guess, or the trying to have self-control, I guess.
And I guess, I don't know if this is the right time to bring this up, but when he, Oliver revealed himself to Roy, and it kind of brought about like that instant switch to him. Do you know what I mean? I thought Colin Haynes did a really good job of acting Not. I mean, he was surprised. Obviously, how am I trying to say this? He just all of a sudden he's like a little kid seeing a celebrity that he's wanted to meet, and you know, asking for his autograph. He's like, because he's telling him, you know, you saved my life, and I want to. It wasn't even like I can't believe it's you. It's you.
Well,
you
mean
when we did this? It was just like this trigger.
Yeah. Well, he was when he first revealed, you know, at the dock or wherever it was they were, you know, where. Mm-hmm. Oliver's trying to get his attention to, hey, I need your help breaking into this, you know, steel reinforced crate here. I was like, he's just going to sit there and go the whole time, you know, because like Roy was just like stunned, and I was stunned too. I'm like, the whole episode's been like, you know, I'm not going to show you who I am, and then all of a sudden it's like, fine, here, you know, don't do it for me, do it for Thea, and it's like, whoa, you know. And I thought it was great. I mean, I thought Oliver's rationale for it was great. You know, like he told Felicity, it's like he wasn't thinking about the consequences, but that was the way he was going to reach Roy. And he is trying to avoid the problems that he sees that he had with Slade. And he doesn't even know the half of it yet, right? Because he thinks he put Slade down. So, you know, there's a lot. So, you know, now it's that trajectory. It's the Anakin Skywalker versus Luke Skywalker trajectory. You know, Slade is Anakin. They both got, you know, they both started the same way, and then one went one path and the other went a second path, and we're going to see the way these two characters evolve. Not that they're even really the same type of character, but we can see how they use this superpower for different purposes.
I don't know. I think they are same type of character. I mean, they were both, or at some point, you know, were Oliver's partner. You know, they worked together. They'll be friends or were friends. I mean, I can see the similarities.
I'm thinking backstory
sure.
more. You know, just
yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like I don't really know. I don't think we know too much about Slade's background. You know, being, but he was a military man. He's been trained. You know, he had some problems with his ex-partner and stuff like that. But, you know, we don't know that his home life was any problem. And, you know, Roy's
right.
pretty much an orphan and all that. And so,
right.
Anyway, I thought there was a lot of cool stuff going on with Roy's story. You know, some good jokes about the hoodie and stuff like that.
And it was very, you know, Karate Kid kind of. Training there, even more so than what Oliver had back on the island, you know. And I thought I liked that. I liked that part of the story. I thought for the most part, Colton Haynes does a good job. Every once in a while, it's not. He doesn't react quite the way that I think he would react. But then again, he's got the Mirakuru in him, and he's got that aggression. But I thought they did a really good job, and I liked the way that they kind of resolved that. You knew he had to know who he was eventually. I mean, he's had to reveal himself at some point. So, I thought the way they did it was pretty brilliant, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm interested to see what the arc is there, and now that we've got him in on the team, you know, that's good. That's a good. Ace in the hole, I guess, for Team Arrow and Oliver.
At some point, I do want him to have a better hoodie, though.
Yeah,
I don't want it to look like a sweatshirt anymore. Give me more Red Arrow type thing.
Yeah, like a leather tunic in red, like what Oliver's got, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I suppose he could always just go mask, kind of like what. Well, in the comic, was he Red Arrow when he just kind of had the red thing with no hood but the mask, or was he Arsenal at that point? I'm not even sure, but
yeah,
they had some pretty good looks for him where he looked tough. But
yeah, well, we'll have to see which route he takes there, and maybe Felicity will make something for him.
Oh yeah, she could do that.
So, all right, the next story I think that was really engaging. As we've been following it for most of the season, was Laurel's story. As we kind of intimated here at the beginning of the show, she's really got a problem. And she knows she's got a problem, and she's choosing not to do anything about it. Her dad is actually trying to help her out and, you know, takes her, probably not the best thing to do. It's like, hey, let's go get some dinner. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's just right in here. And, oh, I'm sorry, it's a support meeting. Why don't we just stay since we're here? And she's, you know, I mean.
You know, not the best strategy, but, you know, when you're a desperate parent, you do whatever you whatever
I know, but
you
I think that's
of,
just
but.
Pretty, it was kind of an obvious, you know, it's like you're going to push her and, you know, she's a very hard-headed, stubborn person, just like her mm-hmm. father, and she's going to push right back. And it's like, that's not going to help.
Yeah, it ended up being a very bad choice.
But I found it interesting that, you know, she's acknowledging her problem as well. I mean, she's trying to play it off with, was it Joanna, when she went in for the job interview?
Yeah.
Right, because she was going to get disbarred. Joanna found out she was being disbarred, and she was trying to play it off like, oh, it's just a misunderstanding or anything like that. But the other thing I found interesting, I was going to save this for the reference, but I guess this is a good point for it. She was sitting on the couch reading a book when her dad came in. And so I looked this book up on Amazon. The book was called Awakening Intuition, Using Your Mind-Body Network for Insight and Healing. So it's interesting. She's reading this, you know, basic kind of, you know, help book here, which in the description it says, by learning to read your sensations, memories, and the signals of distress and disease, you can strengthen your mind-body consciousness and empower yourself to create a healthier, happier life. So that's kind of what the book is about.
This is a real book.
This is a real book. Yeah, you can buy it on Amazon. It's by Mona Lisa Schultz. That's really her name.
Huh.
$11.11 for right now on only 15 left in stock on Amazon. But, you know, she is reading this. So she obviously realized she's got a problem. She's trying to do something about it. Yet her dad comes in and starts to pick a fight with her, sort of, and she's like, you know, I'm going to need another bottle of whatever he was holding up, you know, if we're going to fight. And, you know, and then she goes and continues to get drunk. So I'm wondering, you know, she's actually a lot more complex. They are setting her up to be a lot more of a complex character than I thought they were doing originally because, you know, you thought she was just popping pills or drinking because of, well, and we're assuming it's still distress over the whole thing with Tommy, right? I mean, that's what we're being led to believe, correct?
Yes. And that's kind of, I think, her excuse. But at this point, I think it's addiction. I mean, you can give whatever reason you want for it, but right. That's why she started. Right. But I think at this point, she can't stop herself.
Right. But, and she knows that she's got a problem. She's trying to help herself, but like, you know, she almost out of spite to her dad or people that care for her, she's going and continuing to, you know, damage herself. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, every time I do this, it hurts me and the people around me. So I'm going to try to get help. And then something triggers her. I'm assuming mm-hmm. this fight with her dad, and she goes and gets completely sloshed again.
Well, and that's, you know, that actually truly is what addiction is you continue to do something that's harmful despite the consequences, you continue to do it. And what I did kind of like, this still hasn't been my favorite storyline this season.
I found this a more enjoyable segment of it than
I did too. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think in this one, it was very clear how serious the problem was. I mean, they've shown her drinking, they've shown her popping pills and things like that, but you never really saw much of the effect of what that was causing. You know, last week it seemed like you were, but she ended up being right anyway. So it wasn't the, you know, the effects of the pills that she was doing all that stuff.
Right. Well, we got to see a lot of the longer lasting effects this week.
Exactly. Yeah. And they showed her really, really at rock bottom. And I think I mentioned either last week or a couple weeks ago, that's what I think they're going to do with her story is just really have her go down as far as she can go so she can, you know, make herself stronger, clawing herself back up out of that hole, and which I would guess, you know, would lead eventually to her being the hero. But
right. Well,
so I'm with you. I agreed. I think this week was a much more intriguing view of the story for her,
which is interesting because we were talking, I think it was last week, right? It was the episode that was written by Wendy Miracle and mm-hmm. another lady.
That was last week. Yeah.
And I'm finding that the Laurel character is much more engaging when she's being written by some of the showrunners, not necessarily just a man, but it's like when Drew or Mark or any of the other producer, writer folks from the show get a hold of her character, that's when it's a little more engaging. And maybe, you know, again, maybe the the instructions, you know, for the creation of the last episode was, you mm-hmm. know, you can do this with Laurel, but don't do this because we're saving that for another episode or whatever.
That could be.
So I don't know, but
I kind of agree with you, and you know, and not to you know, put down the other writers like from last week necessarily, but it almost felt like because of what she was doing, and because she was right about blood, and that, and losing her job despite the fact that she was right, it almost felt like they were making excuses for her as well as a character. And this week they just kind of laid it out. Look, she's messed up.
Yeah.
Right. And almost everybody realizes how messed up she is now. Even Oliver, I think, is finally realizing it.
Right. Well, and, you know, and like we found out, she's going to get disbarred, which is funny because she can't even pass a bar unless it's wet, you know. Hey. But, you know, I was worried when we saw her drinking at the club that she wasn't really going to have gone home, or, you know, because was it Oliver took her home? Did Thea take her home?
No, I think they called her a cab. Oliver took her keys.
Oh, that's right.
He told her to call her a cab.
Call a cab, right. Because then, I think in the next shot, then they went to another part of the story, another storyline, but then when they came back, Moira was coming to the club, and I'm like, oh no, this is going to be bad, because Moira is going to see her like this, and that's going to cause some other rift. But you know, they didn't go that far. I thought it was great to draw the parallels though between Thea and where Thea used to be, and how much her character has evolved and changed, which I'm very pleased with. Thea's maturing greatly on the show. I really did not like her very much at the beginning, and she's, you know, I think she's a great, strong character. She is a solid enough character that she is driving the decisions of major players on the show, including Roy, including Oliver, including Moira. And I think that's a great compliment to what the writers and the actress has done with the role.
I think so too. I like her better. She's more mature, even though she's really not much older. She acts a lot more, and she's still, what is, she's only 19, right?
Turned 18 last year, so she's probably 19 by now.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, she's running a club and she is responsible, and so I like her. Okay, but that was a good parallel when Laurel was in the club, you know, and compared, you know, I don't know, what did she say, telling me to, that's enough or something like that.
Yeah, Thea, so, Thea Queen telling me. Yeah, that was harsh. Whatever, so yeah.
I agree. I like her a lot. I like Thea a lot. Still working on Laurel. I'm still trying to like her. But I did like the treatment of this story. So she gets home and kind of passes out, you know, falls down on her floor there, and somebody's in her apartment.
Now, I thought someone had ransacked her apartment to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remembered, oh, wait, yeah, she doesn't have a maid because she's out of a job. Not that she had a maid necessarily to begin with. I think she was just joking about that. But there were bottles on the floor and just, you know, it was a mess. So I think that there was a break-in, but it was not to ransack her apartment.
I apologize for not looking at this closer, but I'm just thinking about it now. But it had been ransacked last week, remember? She came home and the cops were there, and my thinking was that she still just hadn't cleaned up since then.
Oh, that's true. Okay, yeah, because Officer Daly was, I mean, he was the cop, but I'm pretty sure he was the one that broke in.
Right.
You know, and was ransacking it as well, because he was looking for the evidence of the pills and all that. So,
and it could be she's just kind of, you know, she's in a bad place and just hasn't cleaned up and stuff. But that's kind of how I took it, is that it was, it had still, it was still messy from being ransacked last week.
That is,
and
she just totally a great point. I didn't even think about that. Grid, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you brought that up.
So so who was this? Who was this standing over her?
I don't know. It looked kind of like Sarah. But you can't be Sarah. Oh, my God. Are you Sarah? It was Sarah, right?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was Sarah. And
yeah, it was Sarah.
And she was actually there, right? Because at first I thought,
yes.
Well, now wait a minute. Is she just hallucinating? Is she? So okay. So then I'm thinking, why is Sarah? Is Sarah back? Is she there to help Laurel? Is that why she came back?
That's a really interesting question. Because why does Sarah choose this point to come back?
So that's where I'm wondering where they're going, and I think that's why Laurel is going to continue to be a major sub story in for the next few episodes.
I think that Sarah came back. I think we're going to Sarah's going to say, or there's going to be intimation that Sarah came back to save Laurel, because she, even though she's been gone, she's been paying attention to what's going on.
Right. Well, that's why she came back the first time, right? Because of the earthquake, and she heard about that, and then she came back to keep an eye on her family, right?
Right.
Okay. So.
And
so
then, yeah. But then she disappeared because she was afraid of the League of Assassins coming after her family. Well, based on previews and stuff like that, I think that's going to happen. And so I think really what Sarah's come back to do is, you know, really to protect her family, or, you know, to hide them, or, you know, try to do something like that. But in much the same way that Oliver, you know, Oliver's intervention into Roy's life, you know, changed the course of his life and basically saved him, you know, rescued him from where he was headed, I think Sarah's intervention will do the same thing. Whether intended or not, it will, you know, I think it will cause Laurel to crash a little bit more, because it'll be like, whoa, you know, you're dead, and she's not going to believe it, and then she's going to resent it and be angry. But in the long run, that's what's going to turn her around and, you know, patch up the problems with her dad, her and her dad, and potentially her mom. But I don't think we're going to be seeing the mom in the picture too much. There may, you know, maybe guest appearances and stuff like that, but I don't think she will be a regular kind of, you know, it's not like the mom and the dad are going to get back together or anything like that.
It doesn't seem like it, but I do think she is coming back.
Right.
I think I've heard that Alex Kingston is.
Yeah, at least one episode where all four of the Lance family will be together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, coming up here in the next, I don't know, three or four episodes or something like that at some point. So that's pretty cool. And yeah, like I said, this is, you know, now it's starting to, I think this story is starting to pay off. It was just, they were doing it in too small a chunks to begin with, because they wanted to get it, you know, basically halfway through the season or something like that. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Then, I don't think there are any tremors. And tremors, obviously she's drinking, right? So she's got the DTs or something like that.
Right. Well, and it's causing problems everywhere she goes, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of, and her drug use and her alcoholism has rippled out, and, you know, she's lost her job. She's,
I'm sorry,
lost her relationship.
Did you say ripple? Oh, that's good. I like that. So, I don't know if there are any tremors in the next little arc that we're going to talk about here, other than just the earthquake machine. But Ben, what's his name? Ben, not Ben Hudson. What's? Oh, crud! I had his name here. Ben Bronze Tiger. Horrible name for a bad guy, because tigers aren't bronze. Thank you, Felicity. Ben Turner. That's his name.
Ben Turner. That's right. Gee, I couldn't remember either. Ben Tiger. But
no,
they do call him Bronze Tiger. I mean, that's what his kind of his nickname is. So
yeah, that's cool.
But I didn't expect to see him so soon.
I'm glad.
But I guess
they
obviously had plans. They obviously had plans for him at the beginning of the season when they brought him in.
Right.
Based on what we saw at the end.
Right. Well, okay. So let's talk about. this guy that was hired to smuggle the weapons in, what are the odds that he would be put in the same cell as Ben Turner?
What are the odds, huh? I think the odds are low. I think that was probably arranged somehow.
Hmm.
Which, you know, people of that kind of power, I guess, it can do that. I'm sure they've got some cops on the payroll there.
Right.
But wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, okay, what's he doing? Oh, is that a file? Like, how is that going to help anybody? And then he keeps pulling stuff out, and I'm like, oh, it's his gauntlet. And I'm like, that is pretty disturbing.
So wait, I'm sorry. So the first thing you thought of as he's pulling these metal objects out of his body is just a file? That's it?
I thought it was like a human birthday cake and that he was pulling a file out of his forearm. I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, all right. No, the first thing I thought of was, oh, my God. that stuff creeps
me
out.
His kid's going to be safe, you know, so that's cool.
Yeah. It's so sad when you see somebody that desperate that will do just about anything. And
that is probably one of the more graphic things we've seen on the show.
It was, but it was inventive.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, the guy, I mean, I don't know. You're checking him and you don't realize he's got these stitches on him or something? Because, I mean, you don't really see...
Did you notice? I didn't see any stitches on the guy. I mean, it didn't seem like there were any...
it's like they had healed up. I mean, it would have been done a while ago. I don't know.
Or in a way that we're not aware of yet or something.
Right.
I don't know. You don't
right.
know
I don't want to break it down too much because then it loses its mystery and and it's probably like pretty stupid. But
And I kind of don't want to think about it anymore in my head because it's grossing me out, but...
Well, so then we see that he's been hired by Mr. Milo here, Mr. Milo Armitage, to help run, not to help steal the earthquake device, but to run and be his protection against the Arrow, because obviously they knew that this was going to happen. But the big question I've got is, so Milo hired this guy to go into prison and help Ben break out. Who hired Milo to put him in contact with Ben Turner in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying the money? Who wants the earthquake machine and Ben Turner out of prison? And the clues that we get are Armitage says that his buyer is secret. Obviously, someone with a lot of money, like millions and millions of dollars. He suggests that they stay away from Markovia for the near future because his buyer, who is in Markovia, is going to use the earthquake machine. But then he sets it off early because he says, if I return with this to Markovia, I'm dead anyway. So that he, you know, he wasn't going to survive the transaction. The only known DC Universe character from Markovia, well, there's two. There's Geoforce, who is Brian Markov, who is the, you know, the prince or the duke or something like that of Markovia. He was the guy, that was the character name that created the earthquake machine back in season one, but he was killed when Merlin stole the earthquake machine. Then there's also his cousin or his sister, Tara, who becomes the superhero / supervillain, spoilers, Tara, who has also control over the Earth. She was part of the Teen Titans there. But I'm trying to think, like, who else could it be? I don't know that we even have enough information to go by at this point. Do you have any thoughts?
I'm not sure who it would be, but the one question that I had out of all those things that you said is, how did they know the earthquake prototype was in – what was it? Merlin's – I don't know, basement.
Basement, right.
Secret laboratory. I don't know.
Yeah.
How did they know it was there?
Right. So
I mean, who else would have known it was there besides Merlin?
Exactly.
So is there any connection to that or...
That was really the only other thing that I could come up with. It's like, who do we know that's got a boatload of money and, you know, he likes using earthquake machines. You know, I like long walks in the park, archery, and earthquake machines.
I will shake up your world. But now...
He's a Sagittarius, too, by the way. Did I mention that?
The League of Assassins...
League of Assassins!
They know that Merlin's alive. I'm assuming they know what he was doing last season, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were the ones that end up training him. So they may have had knowledge of that. So it may be connected to the League of Assassins. I can't imagine... Merlin.
That's not
being
really
responsible
their,
for
well,
it.
Well, I guess it is their style. I mean, if you look at like Batman Beyond, that could be their style. We don't know too much about the Arrow universe version of the League of Assassins, I guess.
Well, and it doesn't. I agree with you. It doesn't really fit their style or even really their purpose at this point. It doesn't seem like that's what they're going for. Or why they would be in Starling City? They'd be there more for Sarah or Merlin because they. You know, because Moira tipped him off that he's around. Yeah. So, I don't know that I couldn't think of any other possibilities. So I think there's probably somebody in the shadows that we don't know about yet. That would be my first guess.
Oh my gosh. Another person in the shadows that we don't know about.
Yeah. But see, this is so, I mean, it's subtle. I mean, the people who are doing it is subtle, you know, I mean, obviously the earthquake machine and the arrow through the knee and all that wasn't subtle, but yeah. That they could save that. I mean, that could be kind of later on down the road, that's bigger. So maybe either that or it's going to be even more crowded here pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, that's I think that's a really interesting storyline. And then, of course, as we've already discussed, the little reveal with Amanda Waller at the end, and that was one of those – oh, yeah, moments for me when, you know, I saw her come in. I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's funny because she says her name and he's like, is that supposed to mean something to me? Which is, you know, maybe what 50% of the audience was saying. It's like,
yeah,
all right, who's this? You know, but then when she says she's putting together a unit, well, it's more of a squad. That was a... big hoot and holler here at my household. So,
yeah. Now I'm intrigued because I don't know much about the Suicide Squad. I have heard of them and I know I've seen them. I know some of the characters that have been featured in the Suicide Squad and things like that. But I don't have much of the background, so I'm kind of intrigued on where this is going and what this story is going to be.
Well, let me just put on this little instructional film here that I've got that will tell you. The Suicide Squad. Well, it's creamy. It's been 1986 by John Ostrander. So John Ostrander, who's big with the Star Wars comics now, created them as part of the an event back in 1986 that DC was putting on called Legends. And the initial squad consisted of Bronze Tiger, Deadshot, the Enchantress, let's see who else. Amanda Waller was the leader. Then Rick Flagg was like first in command. Captain Boomerang was another supervillain in the group originally. And I would love to see him. He's this Australian. He's a Flash villain. He's Australian and he throws boomerangs. And he's really kind of a cocky SOB. And I think he would be an amazing character for them to put on the show. I think just having that, because he's just irreverent. And he's got an Australian accent. I mean, it'd be awesome. But
he'd be a good crossover villain for Flash, too.
Exactly. And then, yeah, and that's, of course, they could use him for Flash and stuff like that, too. And then, let's see, there was also a character called Plastique, who could blow up. And Mind Boggler, Mind Bender, something like that. I think it was Mind Boggler who she... The whole point of the Suicide Squad is that they put supervillains in there because... they've got special skill sets, but if they don't survive the mission, well, that's okay because, you know, they were already in jail for something. So I think that villain didn't make it long. And they've had a lot of different versions of this. Deadshot and Bronze Tiger are pretty common characters throughout it. The current version also has Harley Quinn as one of the members. And there have been numerous iterations throughout the last three decades here. So,
Well, based on what I know and kind of what you have told me also, I'm very interested in this. I think they have – there's so many possibilities for this, using the villains as a squad to do something. Anyway, I'm excited about this.
Yeah,
this sounds great.
It's a really interesting thing because it's basically – it's like a Justice League group, right, an Avengers. It's a superhero group, but it's not superheroes. They're supervillains. So why should they cooperate? You know, they're usually not the people that cooperate with each other and work together, but they're already, you know, they're serving at a prison sentence. In the comic, they worked at a Belle Reve prison in Louisiana, but it looks like Amanda Waller's taking her people from Iron Heights here. So we'll just have to see where it goes. And yeah, there definitely can be a lot of interesting possibilities with this. So it'll open up a lot of new doors, and I'd like to see them introduce a couple other villain characters to the universe that we haven't already met. I'm hoping that when they introduce us to the squad, there are a couple other characters that we haven't met, but that would be familiar to comic book fans, and we'll just get to know them at that point as well. You know, just do the origin at that point, or however they do it.
Yeah. So one more thing I wanted to ask about Bronze Tiger, or maybe not ask, just kind of put it out there, but he got caught, obviously. You know, they stopped him and he was back in jail, and he'll go with the Mandewall or whatever. He's a rich guy, isn't he? I mean, that money got transferred into his account before everything went down, didn't it?
That's true. He does have $10 million, though, you know, I'm not sure how it works in Starling City, but I think they would seize his assets.
Yes, but I think, if I remember right from what Armitage said, it was in like a Swiss bank account or something, right?
Yeah, possibly. So I just saw it on that iPhone. So that's the only place I know that it is. It's just digital. It's like I got the money.
Any chance you could pause it and like see what his account number was or anything like that?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. No, I'll have to go back and rewatch.
Zoom in, HD. Okay, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not put this on the show. I don't want anybody else getting the idea. So.
Right, I'll edit this part out.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. Sounds good.
All right, so Moira.
Okay, yeah. You had your little kind of criticism last week about, you know, and one of the few of the season. This is mine.
Okay.
This is mine. I'm not extremely keen on the idea of Moira running for mayor. I think
she's
it's
already a queen. So why does she need to be a mayor? Is that the whole?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it feels a little convenient for me. I get why they're doing it, and they actually set it up really well. I mean, it makes sense, but I don't. It just seems so unlikely that she would even have a chance of running for mayor. I mean, she spent
46% of the people though are ready to forgive her. 46.3%.
That's what they said. I mean, that would work. Anyway, I'm not really. That's not the biggest thing. I mean, I'll take it. I'll take it. That's fine. And it's going to set up a interesting plots because Blood's not going to just, you know, roll over and let somebody challenge him and start to have a chance of beating him. You know, yeah. So you know, what's he going to do? I'm sure he's going to do something nasty that Oliver will have to stop behind the scenes there. But okay, so here's my big complaint. That's not my huge complaint. That's not my favorite thing, favorite idea for the season. But my big complaint was the scene with her and Thea in the club. That was this week's little telenovela in the club. It seemed very like a forced conversation and the hugging and the
a club. I mean, yeah, it's like
forced conversation.
It's hopping and jumping, and they're going to be able to have this nice little conversation. Oh, I'm glad we had this talk, Mom.
Well, it wasn't even there. It was just, you know, well, I know that they'll forgive you because I forgave you. Okay, all right, thank you. I don't know. It wasn't even necessary. I mean, it was fine. She'd already kind of come to terms with it, and everybody was cool with it. They didn't need it, so
yeah, that didn't bother me as much. I guess that if anything out of that whole storyline is going to bother me, it's the character that the Walter's friend Mark Francis,
uh-huh.
Who's his business associate that, you know, is wants to help and everything like that. I just don't trust that guy. He played Krychek on The X-Files. And Nicholas Lee is an amazing actor, but, man, ever since The X-Files, I do not trust him at all. Krychek was just a lying, cheating, conniving jerk the entire 10 seasons. So,
it's good. Now, I will tell you one awesome thing that came out of that that I really like that storyline is Walter's back.
Yes. Yes. That was great to hear Walter's voice again. It's just, I mean, he classes up the joint.
Absolutely. So, and do you know, I haven't heard anything about how regular he would be.
He's had a lot of fiber. On the show?
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way. But no, I don't know if...
They don't tease those kind of things. They just, it's like, oh, Suicide Squad's coming. Oh, no, we want to know when Walter's coming back. Oh, we can't tell you that. That's a secret. What? So.
Anyway, I liked him. Not the storyline, but I liked him.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be around for the rest of the season, you know, off and on through the rest of the season here if she's running for mayor. I'd like to see them reconcile a little bit. He doesn't have to become a show regular or anything, I don't believe, but...
No, although why? I mean, they wouldn't have to bring him back for this storyline. I mean, they could have.
This could have been it,
almost. Yeah, it could have been just about anybody. So
yeah,
I like that. Good job. Great to see Walter back. You know.
Very interesting. So, let's. You want to run over some of the other references here in the episode?
Yeah, we almost have talked about a lot of them just because they. They came up so frequently, and we had to use them to talk about the storylines, but there were some pretty good ones in this one.
So, I think Roy referred to – well, no, it was earlier than that. Felicity referred to them as a secret society, or was this Diggle?
That was Diggle.
Diggle. Like the Secret Society of Supervillains or something like that, just one of those kind of cool names. And then Roy – said, what do you guys call yourselves, Team Arrow or something like that? And Oliver's like, no. And Felicity's like, I do sometimes, you know.
That's a good Felicity line.
Which is great because, you know, we've been calling them Team Arrow for a while here. And then we mentioned about Milo Armitage, that he was the arms dealer that helped Ben get out of prison. In comic books, Armitage is an arms dealer, and he is the husband of Sandra Moonday Hawk, who happens to be the mother of Oliver's son, Connor. And Connor Hawk, after Oliver Queen died at one point in the comics, Connor Hawk took over as Green Arrow. And then Oliver came back, and then Connor was also Green Arrow still, I think. I'm not sure what's happening in the current storyline with Connor. I don't know if he exists anymore or not.
I'm not caught up on the current Green Arrow. I need to get that under my belt.
Yeah. And then the law firm where Joanna works, as Mr. Guggenheim pointed out to us last week, he said there would be an Eli Stone reference on this show, and he did not disappoint. The firm was called Weathersby & Stone, which was the law firm from Eli Stone, which was a 2008 ABC series. And that was the one where the title character Eli Stone's a lawyer, and his ex-fiance, her last name was Weathersby, because her father ran the firm that Eli worked at, and partnering with him. So that was pretty cool.
I never watched Eli Stone, so you said you really liked that show. I'm going to have to check it out.
It's fun. I got to see if the episodes are still on, if they're on Netflix or anything like that. Yeah, it's one of those series where it was fun, and they were really going somewhere with it, and they didn't get out of the first season. And they only did, 13 episodes because it was, a mid-season replacement. They just, it was the world wasn't ready for a musical lawyer show. After Cop Rock, that just did not do well, and Glee hadn't made it big yet, so... I don't know.
Sometimes I just think our society is just too uncultured.
I thought it was fun. But anyway. Next week, it looks like we've got some really interesting stuff coming. Looks like we're going to get some more Sarah storyline. And based on the stuff we saw with the island this week, it looks like Oliver's going to have a tough time stopping Slade from blowing up the Amazo. We didn't talk much about the island storyline this week, but that seems to be the plan, is to blow up that the boat with Ivo on it.
And he's determined to do it, but Oliver points out that's their only way off the island right now. So
right. So we'll have to see what's going on with that, and we will be with you next week when we talk about that episode. But that appears to be all that we have for this week's episode of Green Justice.
So if you like this episode or any of our other episodes, please leave us some feedback on iTunes. Great to see that good feedback. And you can also contact us by email, greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or on Twitter, @greenjusticepod. Or our Facebook page, of course, at facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast. And you put up a cool cover of Suicide Squad. Yes. On the Facebook page. That was the original. That was the first issue, right?
That's the first issue of the original
members.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. So that was awesome. Now you put that up right after the show. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So you got to check out our Facebook page. There's some good stuff going on there.
And thanks to everybody who participates on the Facebook page. We've been getting a lot of great messages there. I keep mentioning this guy's stuff, Dan Edmonds. He was the one that put up that interrogation meme with Quentin Lance that I talked about last week. He also wanted to let us know that District Attorney Spencer, because we were asking about her last week, you know, thinking if she's the Manhunter character, he reminded us that she did appear, actually, in Season 1, Episode 5, Damaged, when Oliver was arrested, and she was also in State v. Queen this season, though I don't remember her in that one. I just remember the lawyer lady, so I might have to go back and watch that episode again and see who she is. But
I tell you what, once summertime comes and I'm off of work because I'm a teacher, so I'll be out of school. I'm going to have to go back and watch all of season one and all of season two because, you know, I get into these so much and I watch each current episode a couple times and I kind of forget what's come before and there's so much. I know, and I don't want to. I enjoyed them so much watching them the first time. So I got to go back and check them out again.
Yeah. So anyway, but thanks to everybody who participates in talking about the show on Twitter and on our Facebook page. It's really appreciated. You can also make sure to check out the other show that we do together, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which you can also get here at randomchatter.com. And the Random Chatter flagship show is actually back, so you can hear me and Eric and Lou on that show hopefully about every week. That's another show that we do, and we just talk about all sorts of generic geeky tech movie, TV, comic book things, so never really know what you'll get on any one show there. So if there's one show you don't like, tune in again. You might like the next one. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.
In dedication to Laurel, uh-huh. I have the following for her. Immanuel Kant was a real consent who was very rarely stable.
Heidegger was a boozy beggar, could drink you under the table.
David Hume
could out-consume
William Frederick Hegel. And Wittgenstein was a beery swine who was just a slostish Schlegel. There's nothing Nietzsche couldn't teach about the raising of the wrist. Socrates himself was permanently pissed.
John Stuart Mill of his own free will on half a pint of Shenny was particularly ill. Played on this egg and took it away.
Half a pint of whiskey every day.
Aristotle was a bugger,
for the bottle. And Hobbes was fond of his dram. And René Descartes was a drunken fart. I drink, therefore I am.
That's yes. Pretty good.
Socrates himself is particularly missed.
Lovely little thing about a bugger when he's pissed. Well, I haven't watched that for years. I can't believe I still remembered it all.